Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed and appreciate you spending some of your day with us. It definitely has made a highlight of my day, and so I'm appreciative of the time that we can spend together. Now, we're going to talk about a new course of study today. We're going to talk about sin, about what it is, what it does, and what we should do about it. If this is program number 118 in our list of programs that we've been afforded to present to you. Had some reruns along the way, some good material, want to make sure you've heard. If you've missed any of the ones in the preceding series or you want to hear any of them again, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. And then you scroll down. They're arranged by program number and air date. And so this is number 118 as we talk about sin. While you're on there, you'll find other programs on this station that I'm blessed to be a part of. Sermons of mine going back a good handful of years. Sermon notes, class notes, and a whole lot of other stuff. It's all there online 24/7 just for you. Never ask for a penny. That's a gift to you. Never will ask for a penny for this. We preach the gospel. We read the word. That's what we do. And glad to have you along with us. Let's talk about sin, shall we? One of everybody's least favorite subjects. But here's the thing. If we don't talk about the least favorite subjects, God gets mad because he's left us instructions on least favorite subjects in Scripture. And so in order to be pleasing to God, we've got to preach the whole gospel. We can't pick and choose what we want and what we don't want, as the case would be. So I want us to talk about sin. Sin, people have often assigned the color of black, a black sin, blackness in one's life, which is interesting because for lying, which is a sin, people assign white. It's just a little white lie. Dear friends, we'll find as we go through Scripture, although mankind wants to place levels of emphasis on sins, they say, well, you just told a lie. That's not as bad as someone who went out and robbed a bank, or that's not as bad as someone who went out and killed somebody else and murdered them. Yet, in God's eyes, a sin is a sin. To borrow a phrase from Horton Hears the Who, a sin is a sin no matter how small. See, God doesn't see, oh, well, he only lied twice, but, I mean, they went out and they bombed the whole place. No, that's not how this works. God sees all sin as sin. I know that Revelation 21 and verse 8, as John is getting a depiction, he sees a lake of fire, brimstone for the adulterers, the whoremongers, the thieves, the murderers, and all liars. See, they're right up there with them. So when we talk about sin, we often define it as missing the mark. God has said to do something. There's a sin of omission. God has said to do it, you don't do it. There's a sin of commission. God says not to do it, and you do it. If God says to do something good and you don't do it, you've omitted what God said to do. And that's never good because God's the one that made these rules, not you, not I. I don't have the authority to tell God what he thinks I should do. I have the authority to do what God has commanded, and that's it. I want us to talk about sin. I've got three different passages today. Two are in the book of Psalms, and the middle one is in Isaiah. If you will, go with me to Psalm 51 and verse number 2. Verse number 2. As we look at sin number 1, I want to ask the question, what is sin? What is sin? What is it? Well, notice me here. David says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. We tell from David's life, he's done something that he feels disgusted about. He feels remorseful. He feels filthy. Well, what has he done? You know, the book of Psalms are another look at the stories of the Old Testament, if you will. And a lot of them have titles. And although the oldest surviving manuscripts, they have these titles. They may have been supplied later, but I want you to notice these titles give us a little bit of insight, as you will. Psalm 51 says, to the chief musician, meant to be performed publicly. It is a psalm of David. He's the author. Here's your context. When Nathan the prophet came into him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. Well, the events of this psalm take place in 2 Samuel 11, the going into Bathsheba and the confrontation of Nathan in chapter 12. David, King David, saw up on his roof a woman taking a bath. Ironically enough, her name's Bathsheba. She looked good, so he wanted to go into her, lie with her, have sex with her. He does. He's the king. And she becomes pregnant. That's how it happens, because she's just right after that time of the month. The scripture tells us this, so it was real easy for that to happen. We see here that David tries to cover up his sin of sex out of marriage. He winds up having her husband killed. Now, David doesn't actually do the killing, of course. He lets the army do it, but he makes sure Uriah, her husband, is in a place where he will be killed. Goes in and eventually makes her his wife, thinking that will fix the problem. Does not. You can't hide that. God sees. God knows. That first child, it dies. And David writes this psalm. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God," verse 1, "according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude, thy tender mercies blot out my transgressions." What is sin? Sin is filthy. Sin is doing what God has told us not to do. David knew he shouldn't have gone into Bathsheba. He knew it just as well as he was standing there. But he let the world, he let the physical side kick over instead of the spiritual side. So sin is transgressing the will of God. That's what it is. Sin makes us filthy, makes us feel just absolutely filthy. That's what sin is. But number two, we're going to have to get to after our break. Brother Jim Dearman's going to invite you to attend a worship service with us upcoming at the Arlington Church of Christ. Once you know, you'd be our welcome and honored guest. We come back, going to finish out talking about sin here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to be back with you. My name is Justin Reed. If you're just now joining us, we're talking about sin here on Reading the Word. And if you want to study this lesson again or any of the preceding ones in their entirety, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, they're arranged by date of airing and program number. And this is program number 118. Be appreciative of you to listen to it online, or you can download it and share it and send it to somebody else. We're definitely appreciative. Give them that website as well, readingtheword.net. Hundreds of programs of mine and others as well. Sermons and the like, all for you. Never charge you a penny for that. We're talking about sin, and we were just in the book of Psalms. We're going to go back to Psalms in a minute. But in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, we're ready for point number 2 on sin. What it does. What does sin do? I want you to notice here what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Well, what does sin do? Dear friend, sin literally separates me from God. Notice how Isaiah begins this section of Scripture. He says, "It's the Lord's hand is not short." And it's not that God couldn't just reach out and pull you out of a spot. It's not that. It's not that his ear is dull or heavy that he cannot hear. But change your personal, your iniquity, your sins have separated between you personal and your personal God. And your personal sins have hid his face from you personal that he will not hear. See, sin is like a wedge. A little triangular wedge, isn't it? It's driven in between the Christian and God. Well, even the alien, the non-Christian and God. And it separates us. I've heard it depicted as almost as if like pulling a curtain up. God's on the other side. but that curtain prevents him from coming in or prevents you from getting to him. See, that's what sin does. Sin literally separates us from God. But we need to go to our third passage, and if you will, go back to the book of Psalms with me. And we need to go to Psalm number 32 as we ask the final question, what should be done about sin? So we've asked, what is sin? It's filthiness. It's transgressing the mark. That's what John describes it. We looked at that from Psalm 51, verse 2. We've asked the second question, what does sin do? Well, sin literally separates between me and my God. But finally, what should be done about sin? Once you notice Psalm 32, the title is a Psalm of David, a mashil. David's the author here. What should I do about sin? David, what did you do about sin? Psalm 32, 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, for thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Then there's that untranslated word for a pause, Selah. Or a good idea, at least anyways, is to pause. So what should be done about my sin, dear friends? Well, David said he acknowledged and he confessed. So it's two different things. I know many people who say, well, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. That was a sin. Then they'll never confess that sin. They'll never ask for forgiveness of that sin. If you don't confess it, your sins remain with you. And what a terrible thought to have your sins remain with you, dear friends. What should I do about my sin? First off, I've got to realize that, you know what, I am not perfect. You know what, I have done something that God specifically told me not to do, and now I need His forgiveness. I confess my sins to Him. Sometimes we need to confess our sins before a group of people. You know, James says in James 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Much good can be done through prayer. And a lot of times when we get together, people will need prayers, and maybe they'll go before the congregation and say, I am struggling with this. I have done this. I have said what I shouldn't have. I have been where I shouldn't have, and I need the prayers of the church. I am confessing I have done wrong, and now I'm asking for you to pray for me. And sometimes we just pray for those. Maybe it's an individual thing. Maybe you just confess to God, God, I should not have done that. And I realize that. And now I'm asking for your forgiveness. Because notice David says, for thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He said, because you forgave or will forgive, I will confess. And I love how John puts it in 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How wonderful. Now, it's not wonderful that I've sinned by any means. Yet at the same time, how wonderful that He is willing to forgive if I am willing to confess. Now, that's not saying I should go out and sin just so I should confess. If so, that's missing the whole point of Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall you that are dead to sin live any longer therein? No, we shouldn't go out and sin just because we can get forgiven. But oh, how wonderful. If I have sinned, I can be forgiven. So we've talked about sin. And although it's never anybody's favorite thing to talk about, I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. What is sin? It's missing the mark, doing something God would not approve of. What does it do? From Isaiah 59, it was from Psalm 51, by the way. What is sin? Number two, what does sin do? Well, it separates us from God. That's Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And then what should be done about it? Well, David confessed, or he acknowledged and he confessed his sins, and we would do well to imitate David on that matter, and that's Psalm 32 and verse number 5. Dear friends, I appreciate you being with us here on this lesson. I appreciate it so much, and I'd like to invite you to come do it again with us next time, same time next week, if the good Lord wills. Also, if you want to listen to it again or share it with somebody you know or love, online anytime at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. They're arranged by air date and program number, so you can just scroll down and find this was number 118. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville. This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.